Romans chapter 1, let us read some verses tonight from God's precious word, commencing at the verse marked 1, and let us hear the words of the Lord. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established, that is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Ending our reading at the verse Mark 12, and trusting and praying that God will bless the reading of his word tonight. Now let us again have prayer and ask for God's help now in the word. Father, we do thank thee, Lord, for the service tonight. We thank you, Lord, it is to God be the glory. Great things he hath done. Oh, Father, help us to rejoice in thy salvation. Help us to rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to rejoice in thy loving kindness and thy care for us. Father, we thank thee for this meeting tonight. And we pray now that you'll bless, Lord, thy word. And I pray for thy help. O God, for thy glory. O God, for the edifying of thy people. And O God, for even, Lord, the challenge to go out to those who are not converted. I pray now that you will fill me with thy Holy Spirit. And Lord, that thou wilt give us all thy help. We pray and ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I'm sure some of you at least here will remember perhaps years ago, and I'm sure it still happens, where perhaps an old aunt, it was always an aunt in my case, would go over to Blackpool and she would bring back a stick of Blackpool rock. And many's the time we got a stick of Blackpool rock. And you remember a stick of Blackpool rock? It was wrapped in that cellophane. And of course there was a lot of us in our family, 9 children in our family. And you would unwrap that one end and you'd start sucking away at that stick of rock. And then every so often you'd take a bite. Just to please the dentist, you would take a crunch at the Blackpool rock. But the thing that amazed me as a wee boy, a young boy in those days, was that when you started at the beginning, the word Blackpool was written in the middle of the stick of rock. And as you worked your way through, right through that stick of rock, the word Blackpool was written right through the center of that stick of rock. I never found out how they do that, but they did it. And I often thought, you know, they should have invented a stick of Belfast rock. Think of the things you could write through the middle of a stick of Belfast rock, like Keen Billy or something. Well, you know, thinking about the first chapter of the book of Romans, you might say, what has the first chapter of the book of Romans got to do with a stick of Blackpool rock? Well, just this. And we're going to see this tonight, and I'm going to read these various scriptures, and you will see the truth of this matter. Written right through this chapter is the name of God. You know, brothers and sisters and men and women, let us remember this. It all starts with God, and it all ends with God. Do you remember that great gospel text we all know, John chapter 3, verse 16? How does it start? For God so loved the world. And then you think about even the first verse of the Bible, Genesis 1 and 1, in the beginning, God created. If someone ever says to you, how do you know there's a God? You just look at them and look them straight in the eye and say, I know there's a God because there's a you. And if there was no God, there'd be no you, and there would be no me. God is the first great cause. God is the one who took the initiative in the beginning to create all things, and God is the one who in the beginning and even before the beginning took the initiative to plan and purpose in his mind and heart this great gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. The good news that Christ died for the ungodly. And so I'm going to show you tonight that running right through this chapter is God. You know, it's God with whom we all will have to do the end of life. You will stand before God. I will stand before God. And you know, when I think about that, I rejoice that I am clothed in the imputed righteousness of the Lord Jesus. Because it would be a fearful thing, most horrible and terrible, an eternal tragedy, if anyone here was to stand before God in their sins. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God, angry because of sin. But how wonderful to be saved. How wonderful to be cleansed. How wonderful to have the promise of God that my sins and my iniquities he will remember no more against me forever. So take your Bible tonight and follow me through as we just highlight these scriptures, and you will see what I said at the beginning. God is through this chapter. Of course, God is through the whole Bible. Look at verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. There's the first one. The gospel of God. Where did the gospel come from? You know, I've foolishly sometimes, don't do it so much now, but sometimes I would be reading the TV thing in the paper, and I would see there's going to be a discussion on the television about religion. And so you would maybe, sometimes these are on late at night, maybe that's the best time for them, so that not too many people see them. But I have sat, and there's two or three men, maybe a woman, in a studio, and they're going to discuss religion. There's usually always a man with a ponytail and an earring. Now, if you're here tonight and you have a ponytail and an earring, you're very welcome. But I always noticed that in those TV programs. And they would discuss the Christian faith. And they would discuss the Bible. And they would discuss God. And after all their discussion, and after all their debating, I haven't a clue what they're talking about, except it is of the devil. You know, man has this amazing, amazing ability to turn the gospel of God into a human philosophy. Do you know there's people preaching the gospel tonight? And do you know there's people doing a work, they say, for the gospel in parts of the world, and they don't need God. God's not part of it. God's not in it. They're trying to do a bit of social work, and there's nothing wrong with that, trying to alleviate hunger and bring some medical help to people, and there's nothing wrong with that. But this is, they say, the gospel at work, and God's not in it. Listen, folks, the gospel is the gospel of God. Isn't that wonderful? See, if somebody says to me, on what authority do you believe what you believe? I can say, on the authority of God. You know, the question really is not what you believe, because people can believe a whole lot of things and do. The question is, why do you believe it? And if somebody says to me, why do you believe what you believe? Because God has taught me it in His Word. It's the gospel of God. It's not a human philosophy. It didn't come because two or three creators got together somewhere and decided on this new philosophy that they would put out to the world. It is the gospel of God. Somebody might say, how do you have assurance? Because it's the gospel of God. And all who come to Christ and are saved, God keeps them. We are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. So, dear Christian, maybe you feel weak in faith. Maybe you have your ups and downs. But know this. You believe the gospel of God, and God will keep you. And whether you have weak faith or strong faith, as long as you have faith in Jesus Christ, the Lord, and His cross, even if it be weak, if it's saving faith, you're saved, praise God. If you only touch the hem of His garment, you can be made whole. It's the gospel of God. Somebody might say, yes, but what happens if you die and you find out there's no heaven or hell? Oh, but there is, because it's the gospel of God. Think of two wee men in the factory, and they're having their lunch, and they're sitting with their flask of tea and their lunchbox, and one's a Christian and the other's an atheist. And the atheist says to the Christian, what are you going to do? Will you not be very, very disappointed if you die and find out there's no life after death? And the Christian said, listen, let me say first of all, on the authority of God's word, there is life after death. There's a heaven and a hell. But I know you don't believe the Bible. So let me say this. If I die and you ask me, will I be disappointed if I discover after death that there's no heaven and no hell? The answer has to be, no, I won't be disappointed. And the fellow was aghast. He says, how can that be? Sure, that's your whole religion. Well, he says, would I not have to have some kind of conscious life after death in order to be disappointed? You know, you think about that. Well, he says, well, let's say you die and then there's just a minute or two and you're still alive after you're dead. Would you not be disappointed? Oh, and the Christian says, oh, see, so there might be life after death. Listen, thank God in the authority of God's word and the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Free Presbyterian Church did not dream up the gospel. The gospel came from the very mind and heart of God, the gospel of God. Now come down to verse 4. Speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ, it says in verse 4, and declared to be the Son of God with power. Yes, you see, the gospel is the gospel of God, and the theme of the gospel is the Lord Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus our Lord. And this verse is telling us that he was declared to be, or it was made manifested, that he was indeed the Son of God because he was raised from the dead. The Son of God. Thank God tonight for the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, God's eternal Son. And again, you know, men have their views about the Lord Jesus. And of course, we have people in our own society today who are uttering things 20, 30, 40 years they would never, never have done. Comedians, celebrities, and they'll blaspheme the Lord Jesus. But he is the Son of God. And it is the Lord Jesus Christ who saves. This church cannot save a bedbug. But any man or woman, boy or girl in this meeting tonight who comes to Christ, the Lord Jesus can save you. I love the testimony, I have it on CD, of Pastor Raymond McKeown. I think years ago he was in our Mount Marion church, and then he was in Templemore Hall for a while. But in his testimony, he says about he was out on a Saturday afternoon, I think it was, in a street in Glasgow. He's a Glaswegian, a rough diamond. And there was a man with a scripture vest on, and it said on the back of it, "What think ye of Christ?" And he names the street, and I can't remember it now, but as he says, "I set out at the top of that street, a paid-up member of the Communist Party." And this man in the scripture vest in front of me the whole way down, and when I got to the bottom of the street, I was in the kingdom of God. And God saved him through that scripture text. And he was a great accordionist. And sometimes he would bring men over from Scotland who had been in old dance bands and had got saved, and they'd have banjos and guitars and all the rest of it, and they'd have great open-air meetings. Thank God tonight Jesus saves. He's the Son of God. The Mormons say he's a brother of the devil, a created angelic being. The Jehovah's Witnesses say something similar. My Bible says he was declared to be the Son of God with power. Thank God he has power tonight to save you, power to keep you, power to forgive all your sins, past, present, and future. Well, let's go on. Thank God for the gospel of God, and thank God for the Son of God. But look at verse 7. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God. Now, here's the love of God, but notice how it's put. You see, here's an interesting thing about the love of God. The Bible tells me God is love. That is his very nature and character. And in eternity past, that time that wasn't time, hard to describe, the Bible calls it from everlasting. There was God dwelling, living, existing in three persons in the Godhead. And the Father loved the Son and the Holy Spirit. And the Son loved the Father and the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit loved the Father and the Son. But the thing about God's love is this. God's love is manifested in that he loves people. Do you see how it's put? He's writing here to the believers, and he says, you are beloved. You are being loved by God. Now, the love of God, of course, for his own people is special. We're loved with everlasting love. We sang tonight, God loves the world of sinners lost. And I believe that. And I believe if you're not saved and you're in this meeting tonight, you're in here by the providence of God and the will and purpose of God. And God loves you. And God would have you tonight come to the Savior. Make no delay. For here in his word, he has shown us the way. The world by wisdom knows not God, and you know something? The world by wisdom knows not love. And again, since God is the great first cause, if there was no God, there'd be no love. And don't we live in a world that's crying out for love? There's great problems in the earth tonight. Great problems there in Greece, Italy, with this immigration, migrants fleeing Syria and Libya. Thank God, God is love. He'll receive you. He'll bring you into the family and fold and fellowship of the Lord Jesus. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been born of the Spirit, washed in his blood, and joined there with Jesus. And you will notice we say brother and sister around here. It's because we're a family, and folks are so dear. And when one has a heartache, we all shed a tear, because we're part of the family of God. Are you part of the family of God? Very quickly, let's go down. Look at verse 16. I'm going to miss some of these out. He does mention there in verse 10 the will of God. The will of God. But come down to verse 16. Here's a great one. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. There's something. The power of God. This God has power. You know, we're sitting here tonight, and everything we can see is made up of atoms. They're invisible to the naked eye. And neutrons and electrons, as I said this morning, I didn't do that well at school, so I'll not try and educate you about those things, but there's things going on all the time. We can't see it, and everything that's visible. And my Bible says all things by Christ consist. He created everything and he holds it all together. But you know something? There is a day coming when God is going to say, the angel is going to say, time shall be no more, and everything that's held together will come apart. And there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And this God who created all these orbs up in the heavens and these galaxies, and they tell us, you know, that each galaxy has millions of stars, and there's probably millions of galaxies. I can't confirm that or deny that, but this is what they say. And why are they all there? To tell us and show us the glory and power of God. So what I'm saying to you tonight is this. You can absolutely give your heart and life to God and to Christ. He has power to keep you. He has power to keep you. Not only that, but at death, he has power to bring you to heaven. I don't know where heaven is. I can't open up a map and point heaven on the map. Can't even open up an astronomy chart and point it out there. But I know this, heaven is at the end of every Christian's life. Heaven is where Jesus is in his body. And the wonderful thing about heaven and the fact that God exists outside of time, he is the eternal present God, is that heaven could be far away and yet heaven could be just next door. But God, by his power, will take every child of God to heaven. And you see the body. The body will be sown in the earth. And by the power of God, and only God could do this. No matter how long you've lain in that earth and seen corruption and very little of you left, my Bible tells me God is going to raise you again, your body. The power of God. The power of God. Shouldn't we Christians trust the power of God every day of our lives? But in this text, it is especially related to salvation. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. In verse 17, he talks about the righteousness of God. Do you see that? In verse 18, he talks about the wrath of God. Oh, yes. There's wrath. Now, the Bible doesn't say God is wrath. It does say God is love, but God is wrath. One of the most amazing verses in the Bible is the verse that tells us at the end of time, when the seven seals are opened, it talks about the wrath of the Lamb, which seems a contradiction. Yeah, the Lord Jesus Christ, he will display his righteous anger and indignation on that great day. The wrath of God, verse 18, is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Talks about, in verse 23, the glory of God. And how men change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man. And again, isn't it amazing the ability of man, because of sin and Satan, to bring this down? You know, there's people today, there's people in Belfast City tonight, and they're walking about with a lucky charm in their pocket, maybe a rabbit's foot or something, or these charms that wear. On their wrists, and that's their God. That's their God. You know, it's got to the stage, isn't it, in our land, we nearly need to go back to the very beginning and tell people who God is. Never mind the gospel, who God is. God's not someone you can pick up and put in your pocket. God's not the God of the BBC. God's the God of the Bible. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Verse 25, you have the truth of God, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. There's evolution. There's humanism, atheism, Buddhism, all in that verse. They changed the truth of God into a lie. I hope there's no one here in the Martyrs Memorial tonight believing a lie. When you have the truth of God in your own mother tongue, the precious word of God. And then verse 32, who knowing the judgment of God. The judgment of God. Folks, all through this chapter, just like the Bible, there is God. God in his nature, God in his attributes. But thank God, a God who has revealed himself in Christ and on the cross of Calvary. Yes, he has revealed his wrath against sin because he punished our sins in Christ. He has revealed his justice because God has to deal with sin. And God is immutable. God's not going to change, you know. God's not going to change. They can huff and puff all the like, but God is immutable. He doesn't change. A lot of people would like God to change. In fact, a lot of people have invented a God of their own imagination. Oh, they don't believe in the God of the Bible anymore. But let me tell you about the God we believe in. And when you listen to them, he is a glorified Santa Claus sitting up in heaven. An old, frail man. He can do very little. Thank God for the God of the Bible. Thank God for a God who in Christ has dealt with sin. And if you come to him tonight, he can save your soul. He will redeem your soul. He will raise your body. He will transform the universe. You see, the gospel of God is so great. Man has narrowed this away down to this wee philosophy thing that's sort of co-equal with Buddhism and Hinduism and any other ism. But the gospel of God is so great and so grand that ultimately it will affect every atom in the universe. That's the God of the Bible. Tell me, do you know him? For 16 years, I lived without knowledge of this God. And then the Lord came into my life and save me. He can save you. He can save you. Some of you here might remember, I don't know if Brother Sam remembers this. He's well known about Corridor 2, by the way. But the day the old building opened in Newton Ards, it was just a wooden structure. It was a Saturday afternoon. And Beverly Park, Newton Ards, it was bucketing. Excuse the Ulster Scots, it was bucketing all day. It lashed that day. And I come home from work. I used to work in J.C. Brown's there in Prince Regent Road in the top of the Castlereagh Road. Rachel's over there. She worked there too. And I remember going home, and I wanted to hear Dr. Ian Paisley speak. I wasn't seeing. I jumped on a 10-speed racing bike, which I had got out of the Great Universal Club book. Do you remember them? So much a week. And in the pouring rain, I cycled up the Bangor Road. I got to the lights at the top of the Bangor Road there where the North Road meets it. And I didn't know where Beverly Park sounded far too posh for Newton Ards. And I hadn't a clue, and I was about to go home when I heard something. And they had put loudspeakers outside the wee building because I suppose they thought if there's a big crowd, but it was so wet, nobody in their right mind could have stood outside that day. And I followed the sound, and I came to the wee building. But this time, I was soaked to the skin. And I remember one of the men, I think it was Roy McMillan, I hadn't a clue who he was then. He says, come on in. Oh, I says, I'm soaked. I'm going to go back home. Well, he says, we're having special meetings all week. Come back. And I did. And then when the Reverend Baxter was a student minister, they were having a gospel mission in the old John Knox Church in Clifton Park Avenue, Belfast. The Reverend Ken Elliott was a preacher. And I had started to attend the Free Church in Newton Ards then, still wasn't saved. I rode away to Ernie Allen for tracts, and I remember seeking the Lord and could never get assurance. But that night in the gospel meeting, Mr. Elliott spoke on reasons people won't come to the Lord. And as soon as the call went out, I put up my hand. And Brother Baxter led me to Christ. I'll never forget it. And the way home that night in the old bus, we all stopped at the Bethany Fish and Chip Shop on the Newton Ards Road. and I had the best fish supper I ever had in my life because I was saved. Saved by the grace of God. I think that night Mr. Baxter had 3 chicken suppers, but we'll say no more about it. Well, it's good to be saved, isn't it? And it's good we can have a laugh and rejoice. What a God we have. This is God's business. God's bigger than Stephen Nolan. God's bigger than the BBC. God's bigger than this whole crowd that's run about today, equal rights. God's bigger than Russia. God's bigger than them all. And he can be your God tonight through Jesus Christ. Let's bow our hearts in prayer. We'll not sing a closing hymn, time's gone. If there's anyone here and you're not a Christian, you can be saved tonight. You can. And if you want to speak to any, you want to speak to me, I'll gladly speak to you. Or maybe someone you know here, one of the elders, there's literature. Ask on the way out for any literature that can help you. But you know something? Here's the wonderful thing. You don't need a priest. You don't need a pope. You don't need a minister. You can go straight to Christ. He said, come unto me. He said, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. He said that. He said that. Trust him. Trust him and be saved. Father, we thank thee for your precious word. We thank you, Lord, for the fact, Lord, and the truth that you are the great God. Lord, we know that the Muslims, they shout, Allah Akbar, God is great. But we thank thee we can also shout, God is love. And Lord, we pray for this service now as it concludes that you'll bless. You'll encourage the believers' hearts, each one of us. And any who are not converted, you'll speak to them and bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, the world out there needs this message. And we know, Lord, the world out there, the vast majority, don't even now want to hear it. And they're getting pretty militant. And Lord, as a postman, I see stickers now on people's doors where they say, no religious collars. And they don't even want people knocking their door telling them about the gospel. Lord, we need you to come in. We need you, Lord, to make bare your mighty right hand and arm. We need it, Lord. Oh God, will you hear our prayer? And will you come in Jesus' name and revive in these days? Take us now home in safety, Lord, with your love, mercy, and grace abiding with us and upon us. Until we all meet again, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.